Joshua 14, verse 8, Caleb said, "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." Last Lord's Day, we concluded our series on rest for God's people from Hebrews chapter 4. And obviously enough, we do not have time to start a new series today, to say the least. So this morning, we're going to consider one man in Israel who did enter into the land of rest and the eternal rest that it signified, namely Caleb. Caleb's carcass did not fall in the wilderness, unlike all the others, pretty much over the age of 20. And Caleb was alive, as Joshua 14, verse 15 puts it, when the land had rest from war, and when the rest of that land, therefore, was complete. So this sermon is a sort of appendix to the series on Hebrews 4, but it's a sermon which stands on its own right, and as we shall see, has something important to say to us all. You are no doubt familiar with the idea that the Bible, especially in its description of some people, has a marvelous way, in a few words, of encapsulating their character in a certain phrase. Let me show you what I mean from the first three kings of Israel who ruled over all 12 tribes. Saul was called, in Scripture, the king like unto the nations. Why? Because he ruled for himself like the pagan kings, not for the glory of God. So he was, and you can view his whole life from this perspective, a king like unto the nations. David, who succeeded him, was the man after God's own heart because he ruled according to the will and delight of Jehovah, and so was a type of Jesus Christ. And David's son Solomon is called in the Bible the wisest king, which was seen in his administration of justice, his building the temple, his ordering his court, and so forth, picturing Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God. Similarly, the Bible has a phrase that sums up and encapsulates Caleb's character. And the children here might even know what that phrase is. Caleb was a man who wholly followed the Lord, as we have it in the title of this morning's sermon. And this is stated some six times in Scripture in three different biblical books. This is stated three times in Joshua 14, the passage we read together. In verse 8, Caleb says it of himself, truly, but not proudly, "I wholly followed the Lord my God." In verse 9, Caleb quotes Moses saying it about Caleb. Moses said of Caleb, "Thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God." And in verse 14, the inspired narrative, which I take was penned by Joshua, says that Caleb wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. This is stated once in Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 1, verse 36. "Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, shall see the promised land, and to him I will give this land, because he hath wholly followed the Lord, And it's stated twice in Numbers. Numbers 32, verse 12. Caleb and Joshua have wholly followed the Lord. And not to detain you any longer. Numbers 14, verse 24. My servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land. So if we put all this together, Caleb is called a man who wholly followed the Lord 6 times in 3 different biblical books, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, the 4th, 5th, and 6th books of the Bible, by 4 different parties, by Jehovah in the 3 instances, by Moses, by Joshua, and by Caleb himself. And the obvious question is, why? Why is this said of Caleb so often, 6 times, by several parties, 4 of them, and in several books, 3 biblical books? Why is it that Caleb should be called a man who wholly followed the Lord and not Abraham or Moses or Josiah or Paul? And of course, what can we learn from all of this? Let's consider then, Caleb wholly followed the Lord. The meaning, the contrast, and the courage. The meaning, the contrast, and the courage of Caleb wholly following the Lord. First of all, we should say that Caleb wholly followed the Lord means that the Lord was before him always as his leader and shepherd and commander and guide and master, so that the Lord goes before, and Caleb's calling was to follow him. This means that Caleb did not halt between 2 opinions. He didn't waver as a wave of the sea. He didn't stray to the left hand or the right hand. He didn't put his finger in the air to see what way the wind was blowing. He wholly followed the Lord. And the word wholly means that he didn't mostly follow the Lord, but sometimes not really, or partly follow the Lord. In that it says that he wholly followed the Lord, it means that he followed the Lord in all things, and not just some things, and all of the time, and not just some of the time. More concretely, wholly following the Lord means that Caleb wholly followed God's word. He wholly obeyed God's commands. He wholly believed the promises. The point of all this is that Caleb here is our example. Caleb says to the church, we must be wholehearted and not half-hearted disciples. We must wholly follow the Lord, not going to left or right, never mind backwards. And our obedience to God's word is not to be doubtful or partial or conditional. Maybe I will do what God says, and maybe not. I will obey and do what I know I ought to do if so-and-so does this, or if such-and-such happens. I would follow the Lord, but the Christian is to wholly follow the Lord. And this, of course, is what we desire and pray for and aim at with the catechumens, the boys and the girls of the church. The goal is that they grow up to follow the Lord wholly, and that they follow the Lord wholly right now. Childhood isn't any opt-out period for following the Lord. Your teenage years don't mean that you can do what you want. You wholly follow the Lord. This is the goal too for the members of the church, that the men and women here wholly follow the Lord. That's always the standard and the calling, nothing less. And this, of course, is the purpose of the church, to be a congregation which wholly follows the Lord, so that it's not just, well, we've a few really zealous ones who wholly favor the Lord, and then there's a few stragglers at the edges who sort of drift. No, everybody must wholly follow the Lord. That's the point. To be more explicit, when it says that Caleb wholly followed the Lord, this is not merely a reference to his spiritual condition on that day that he brought his positive report at Kadesh Barnea. It's not saying, well, at that time he wholly followed the Lord. This phrase, that he wholly followed the Lord, describes his character. In our passage, Joshua 14, the idea is not that I, Caleb, say to you that I wholly followed the Lord 45 years ago when I was a spy, but now, however, I am deeply backslidden. The passage describes Caleb as one who still believes God's promises and is still fighting the good fight 45 years later, because he just is that way. That's his character. Wholly following the Lord was not a passing phase of his life. And we must think, therefore, of Caleb's long life as being one of wholly following the Lord. He's 85. Joshua 14, verse 10 says this. Sometime after this, he conquered Hebron. Sometime after that, he died. And we're not told how old he was when he died. But we certainly have 80 plus years of wholly following the Lord. Year in, year out. And the children ought to think that that is some going. And that is to be their view of their future. That I, whatever age I am, must and will wholly follow the Lord by His grace precisely as many years as He gives me, because I'm grateful to Him for saving me through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what I want. And since Scripture speaks of Caleb's daughter, called Aksa, and his several sons are mentioned in 1 Chronicles 4, we can safely assume that this godly man had not only children, but a wife, and that he wholly followed the Lord in his marriage and family life too. These decades of Caleb's life teach us, moreover, that he wholly followed the Lord under various leaders in Israel. He wholly followed the Lord when Moses led Israel, as he did in Kadesh Barnea, that great leader. He wholly followed the Lord when Joshua succeeded Moses, as is the case here in Joshua 14. And Joshua was another great leader, though not as great as Moses. He wholly followed the Lord before Moses was appointed the leader of Israel, and when there was no great leader of the church. And if, as seems likely, given his strength and vitality, if Caleb outlived Joshua, he also wholly followed the Lord when there was no great leader after Joshua's death. This is the proper and only way to follow the Lord wholly. It doesn't matter when the leaders of the church change, elders, ministers. Essentially, for you, it is irrelevant because your faith does not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Assuming, of course, that the church leaders teach the same thing. This means also that those who wholly follow the Lord can stand when you have especially capable church leaders, which aren't always present in the church, and when the church doesn't have such capable leaders. The calling is still the same. You just wholly follow the Lord, no matter what. We should think, too, of the locations in which Caleb wholly followed the Lord. There's especially three of them. In the wilderness for 40 years, wholly followed the Lord. In Canaan, he wholly followed the Lord. And before the wilderness, and before the entry into Canaan, he wholly followed the Lord in Egypt. Such was his character, teaching us that geography is no barrier to following the Lord completely and wholly and fully. We must follow him with all our heart, according to his word, in a faithful church, wherever we may be. And this can be done. We can also think of the many adverse circumstances during which Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Because this man didn't simply wholly follow the Lord when he saw the 10 plagues, or when God destroyed Pharaoh's army at the Red Sea, or when God spoke to them at Mount Sinai. He wholly followed the Lord when he lived as a slave and endured persecution in Egypt as part of an oppressed people. He wholly followed the Lord as a weary wanderer in the heat and dust of the wilderness. He didn't say, in circumstances like these, surely God does not expect me to follow him wholly. Surely he allows me to slack off a little. No. He wholly followed the Lord as a soldier and a warrior through the years of battle and blood conquering Canaan. And, if he lived that long, he wholly followed the Lord and was one of the few bright lights during the days of church declension after Joshua died. Point being that we must follow the Lord wholly, not merely in the good times. We follow the Lord wholly during whatever days our Heavenly Father has decreed for us, whether they be happy, joyful days or times of sadness, times of victory or abject humiliation. We follow the Lord in season and out of season. We follow the Lord when people are in good form and when they're in bad form. We follow the Lord in the long days of summer when it's bright and warm, and in the long nights of winter too. And we follow the Lord however we may feel, even if we feel awful. I didn't say it was easy. But that's our call. Like Caleb, we wholly follow the Lord. Now, what we've said so far, however, doesn't fully explain why Caleb is repeatedly described as one who wholly followed the Lord. Perhaps one might say, you could say the same thing about Daniel or Ezra, that they wholly followed the Lord. So there must be more to it. And there is. And we'll come to that. Part of Scripture's characterization of Caleb as one who wholly followed the Lord is the idea that he wholly followed the Lord in contrast to the 10 unbelieving spies. That's Joshua 14, verse 8, our text. "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me, the 10 spies, made the heart of the people melt. But I, in contrast, by God's grace, wholly followed the Lord my God." And you remember the scene at Kadesh in Numbers 13 and 14, the great turning point in the wilderness wanderings. Israel is situated just south of the promised land. Moses sends out the 12 spies to do reconnaissance work in Canaan. 40 days later, they return. 10 of them bring the majority report. "Yes, the land is good, but we're never going to take it. Give up. It's hopeless." 2 of them, Joshua and Caleb, bring a minority report. "The land is good. Yes, the people in it are strong. But with God fighting for us, it's easy. We will wipe them out. Don't fear." And in this situation, Caleb shows himself as a man who wholly follows the Lord. He's opposing 10 people. He and Joshua are outnumbered by the ratio of 5 to 1. He calls these 10 my brethren. They were professing believers, but he isn't swayed because he wholly follows the Lord. These 10 professing believers do not cause him to budge. These 10, of course, are church leaders, so to speak. They're referred to as heads of the children of Israel and rulers of the Old Testament people of God. Caleb has spent 40 days with them, working together. These were his brethren who went up with me. And they have brought a vivid, persuasive, united report. "We're never going to take it." But here's Caleb, who wholly followed the Lord, and he wasn't swayed in the least. Wasn't swayed even for a moment. In fact, in the narrative in Numbers 13, he spoke up against them even before Joshua did. Quote, "Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.'" And he even engaged in a theological argument with 10 people in the church, telling them why they were dead wrong. And so again, Caleb is an example for Christian people today. We must not trust in princes, but in the Lord. We must not count heads, even among church office bearers. We must wholly follow the Lord according to the Word. And so for us as Christians, it does not matter who opposes God's Word, or how many they are, or even that they are in church office, or even what you may have been through with them during, let's say, the last 40 days, or how persuasively they may speak. Your calling is very simple, very clear. You wholly follow the Lord like Caleb in our text. Caleb is also understood well as one who wholly followed the Lord in contrast not only to the 10 spies, but in contrast also to the vast majority of the unbelieving nation of Israel. Joshua 14, verse 8 again. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I didn't go along with the people whose heart was melting with fear. I wholly followed the Lord my God. The contrast here between Caleb and the people is even clearer in Numbers 32, verses 11 and 12. Surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt, from 20 years old and upward, shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. And obviously, objectively, the same external situation faced everybody. Faced the 10 spies, the 2 spies, the people, Moses. The same objective external situation. But the people and the 10 spies did not wholly follow the Lord. Therefore, their heart melted with fear and they refused to go up and take the land. But Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Therefore, he said, it's easy. Let's go up at once and take the land that God is giving us. The problem was with the people that they only followed the Lord with their lips. And even then, they only followed their Lord with their lips some of the time. Because at other times, they sneaked off to their tents and grumbled in their own abodes. Sometimes, they even complained with their lips publicly. These people only followed the Lord externally and to some degree. And they didn't always even do it externally. Sometimes there was gross public disobedience and rebellion. They only followed the Lord when it suited them. And it didn't always suit them. They only followed the Lord when they felt like it. And they didn't always feel like it either. And these are the people that we must not be like. And on that fateful day at Kadesh Barnea, which determined the next 38 years of misery, the people did not even follow the Lord externally. They publicly revolted and tried to make a captain to lead them back to Egypt. They didn't even follow the Lord with their lips. They railed against God and His Word because it didn't suit them. Because they didn't feel like it. And Caleb, who wholly followed the Lord in contrast to the people, this almost cost him his life. Numbers 14 verse 10 said that after Caleb and Joshua remonstrated with the people, all the congregation bade stone them with stones. Persecution. Persecution in the form of a brutal, bloody death from the church. The only church there was on earth at that time. Israel. And it's funny that in the scriptures we read of several great men of God who were almost stoned by the church. Moses. They almost stoned him. David. His own men almost stoned him. Jesus Christ. Several times. Especially in the Gospel according to John. And here, Caleb and Joshua. Some of the greatest figures in the Bible were almost stoned. And there were other godly men who were stoned. Naboth was stoned to death. Stephen was stoned to death. Paul was stoned in Lystra. But God raised him up again. Acts 14. Because he still had more work for Paul to do. But God here protected Caleb and Joshua so that they weren't stoned. God appeared in His glory at the tabernacle And that cowed the children of Israel so that they dropped their stones. And of course, it wasn't just on that fateful day at Kadesh Barnea that Caleb wholly followed the Lord and the people did not wholly follow the Lord. This was the way it was for 40 years in the wilderness. Just think of a day in the wilderness when the pillar of cloud or fire moved in front of Israel to lead them. Think of the grumbling in Israel. Not again. We just pitched my tent and the cloud is moving again. And look what way it's going. That direction. Sure, we just came from that direction. And that takes us over some very rough terrain. They were always grumbling. Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Oh, God has moved the pillar. That means we pitch up tent. Whatever God says, we do. We obey, we follow the pillar, and we do not follow a multitude to do evil. That was Caleb. He wholly followed the Lord. That was him in a nutshell. Which leads us now to Caleb's courage that day at Kadesh Barnea. Since he believed God, whom he wholly followed, he knew that Israel would conquer Canaan. No ifs or buts about it. And he fearlessly believed this despite the unbelieving cowardice of the 10 spies and their vehement arguments, and despite the melting hearts of the people and their desire to stone him to death. And why was it that the spies, 10 of them, and the people, almost all of them, feared? Joshua 14 verse 8 says, "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." Why? Why did they fear? Why did the heart of the people melt? Because of the might of the Canaanites. The spies and the people couldn't see anything beyond the fortifications. Great fortifications. And so they exaggerated the fortifications in their unbelief. Their walls mount up to heaven. See, they're telling themselves lies to justify their unbelief. They feared because of the vast numbers of them and forgot that God had said, "One of you will chase 1,000. They feared because of the height of the giants that made them feel inwardly like grasshoppers. But Caleb said, "Let us go up at once and possess it." Go up at once and possess it. He even neglects to say, "We've got to fight for it." Just go up at once and possess it. It's that easy. "For we are well able to overcome it." He says in another place, "They are bread for us." It's just going to be like eating your dinner. That simple. God is with us. Their defense is departed from them. They know it. They're filled with fear. And the Lord is with us. That explains it all. "Therefore, fear them not." Caleb wholly followed the Lord. So he saw the enemy in proper perspective. He followed a great Lord, and so he did not fear tall men and high walls. Which teaches us that wholly following the Lord strengthens us against that deadly scourge, the fear of men, which is far worse and does a lot more damage than men. The fear of men is worse. It cripples and destroys people. Caleb showed great courage.
that day in Kadesh Barnea. And 45 years later, Caleb showed great courage that day in Gilgal. Joshua 14 verse 6 sets the scene in Gilgal, Israel's first camp when they crossed the river Jordan, and which was their base from which they made their attacks in the center and south and north of the land. Because Joshua 14 makes several fascinating points about the city for which Caleb asked. A promise was given to him that he will inherit the land, that he will inherit a special part of it. And so Caleb comes up with the rulers of Judah, and he asks Joshua for a city. And there were many cities by this stage which were already conquered. But Caleb asks for a city which was not already conquered. He wants one for which he has yet to fight. Caleb wants a city, moreover, which was fortified. He didn't say, well, there's a wee village around there, and there's a few huts, and they haven't even got a wooden fence around the thing. Give me that one. He wants and asks for a fortified city. He wants for a fortified city that's on a hill, even a mountain. And a fortified city on a mountain is even easier to defend and harder to take than a fortified city on a plain. Caleb, moreover, such is the faith and fortitude of the man, he asks for a city not yet conquered, that's fortified, and on the top of a mountain that is inhabited by giants. Even the three whopping great sons of Anak, the ones in the city in which Shishai, Ahiman, and Talmai live. Probably the three tallest, strongest Canaanites in the whole land. Joshua 14 verse 12. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how that the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me. Then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. This, of course, would show great courage in a young man to ask for such a city. But Caleb, at this time, except possibly for Joshua, was the oldest man in Israel. He's the oldest man in the church. And there are some 2 million people and over 600,000 male adults, and he, except possibly Joshua, is the oldest one of the lot. He's 85 when he makes this request. He's a senior citizen, as people might say today, and he is some 20 years older than anybody else in the church, except Joshua. For this task, God has given him great faith in his promise. Caleb's speech and Joshua 14 mentions that God has promised to give him a land. That is Caleb's hope. Mentioned in verse 6, verse 9, verse 10, verse 12, and again in verse 12. And to this end, God has preserved in Caleb great physical strength. He has kept this man strong at 85 for this task. Caleb says in verse 11, as yet I am as strong this day at 85 as I was in the day that Moses sent me when I was 38. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war. He's strong to fight, both to go out into battle and to come in after winning the fight. Caleb. And you know how things went. In later days, Caleb with his men did indeed conquer
Hebron. And they took the surrounding villages, such as Debir. Shortly thereafter, Hebron was given to the priests as a city of refuge. And Caleb therefore retained the fields of the city and the villages thereof, including so forth. That's Joshua 21, verse 12. But then Caleb, of course, as one who wholly followed the Lord, acquiesced in God's giving the city of Hebron, which he had conquered, to the priests, and God's appointing that city of Hebron one of the six cities of refuge. Caleb's possession then of a tract of land in Canaan was his inheritance in the land of rest, which bespoke his eternal rest in Jehovah's presence. And there's a connection with Caleb, not only between Numbers and Deuteronomy and Joshua, but even into the book of Judges, which mentions Caleb in chapter 1 and chapter 3, especially in connection with the first judge of Israel. And maybe some of the children know his name, Othniel. And who was Othniel? He was the younger brother of Caleb. They both fought for the Lord with all their hearts. And when we say he was a younger brother of Caleb, he was a younger brother of Caleb by at least 20 years. Now, one last thing. How is it that Caleb was able wholly to follow the Lord? And how are we able to do that? And the answer is the grace of God's blessed covenant. This is what Caleb said. Joshua 14, verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord Jehovah, my God. My God. That's what it is to have God as one's covenant God. Because the formula is, God is our God, or individually, God is my God, and we are his people, or I am one of his people. He wholly followed the Lord in the covenant of grace. And we have the same covenant today, only raised to a higher and richer manifestation, called the new covenant, which is established in Christ's blood, according to which covenant we have the forgiveness of sins and the righteousness of God imputed to us. And we also have sanctification, so that we can live a new and holy life, to wholly follow the Lord. And so our calling then is, wholly follow the Lord, knowing that we're not able to do it absolutely perfectly. Far from it. But that this is to be the basic bent and tenor of our lives. And that this is the way we are to be more and more by His grace. Just like Him, who wholly followed the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, give us that covenant grace to follow Thee wholly with our families and children and in Thy church. For we ask it in Jesus Christ's name, the head of the covenant. Amen.